Don't be left in the dark. Get proper understanding of life through the Word of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The Word of God is an illumination which gives direction. Remain blessed as Reverend Osfawenu illuminates your mind with the Word of God with all simplicity and clarity.
God's management principles. And so last week, we went further in that study, looking at principle of knowledge economy. And in that study, knowledge was recognized as chief among the immaterial, or what you may like to call non-matter or abstract resources available to man. So knowledge was recognized as chief among the immaterial resources available to man for destiny prosecution and destiny fulfillment. And in addition to that, we also acknowledge the fact that knowledge is an integral part, in fact, if not the most central, of the immaterial resources available to man, of which we have the responsibility to make sure we manage very well so that it does not go into waste. I come again. Knowledge was emphasized last week as an integral part, in fact, if not the most central, of the immaterial resources available to man, that we must not allow to go into waste. So, and we recommended knowledge to be considered for effective management. That is, knowledge must be accounted for the way we do for money and other valuable material resources that we can relate with physically. You know, knowledge cannot be related with physically. Are we together? But we are still saying, in spite of the fact that it's an immaterial resources, it's a non-matter, it's an abstract resources, we still have that responsibility to give it effective management and be able to account for knowledge the way we account for money and other valuable materials. Yes, knowledge may not have physical existence, but certainly knowledge possesses the most feasible practical expression or outcome. Are we together? Knowledge may be abstract. Knowledge may not have physical existence. Or do I ask you, what is the color of knowledge? What is the shape of knowledge? So it doesn't have physical existence. Okay. What you are today, medical doctor. What you are today, engineer. What you are today, an inventor. What you use today, communication device. What you use today, automobile. All of these are practical expression of somebody's knowledge. Am I talking to somebody? So whereas knowledge may not have physical existence, it possesses the most feasible practical expression or outcome that you can tangibly hold on to. So if knowledge is that precious and important, then it is something to be given due attention when it comes to issue of management. Are we together? Now, those were the foundations we lay last week. And of course, I described a discipline to us which I call knowledge economy. And I recommended that to us as a very critical discipline for productive destiny management in both practical and spiritual terms. Are we together? So, and our landing point last week was to underscore the fact that God is a meticulous accountant. God is a meticulous accountant. And of course, he in turn demands accountability for us as a component of godliness. Are we together? God is a meticulous accountant, and we search through scriptures upon scriptures to establish that, including the fact that the hairs on our head go, they are counted, including the fact that the name, okay, and planets, every planet that exists, even those ones that man has not been able to discover, God has their number. Our days that we're going to spend on earth, as you know, God has them in his custody. He knows them. Are you with me? And so we study a number of scriptures to establish the fact that our God is a meticulous accountant. And as a component of godliness that is expected of us, is that we too must be accountable. To the extent that on the last day, we are going to stand before him and give account of our lives. So he demanded from us accountability as part of the component of the godly lifestyle that is expected of us in every material and immaterial aspects of our lives. I have defined material aspect of life to us as physical material that we can tangibly relate with, and immaterial resources as those things that, though they are abstract, but their effects are obvious around us, like knowledge. So we look at a number of Bible texts from both the Old and the New Testament. And those texts were considered primarily to broadcast the uncountability attribute of God and God's expectation from us in the same regard to be accountable. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 to 48 was our landing point. From verse 42 of Luke chapter 12, Gospel according to St. Luke, and the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, who his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maiden, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when it looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given." This is the accountability landing point. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So God will demand more from us because he has given us much. And as a shepherd that has labored to impact you with knowledge, I expect that your life will appreciate. I expect that your life will be meaningful. I expect that your life will be Bible compliant. I expect that your life will be Christ-like. You will not fail God on the day of accountability. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, from that study last week, we are still doing a kind of a review of what we did last week to lay the foundation for the dimension we are going to approach the issue this morning. So, from that study, it was made abundantly clear that God's accounting system is all-encompassing. To the extent that the words that we speak, we are going to account for it. So God's accounting system is all encompassing. But good news, it's not too complex to understand. You know, accounting can be a very troublesome discipline for some people. So God's accounting system is all encompassing, but not too complex to understand. Why? It is related directly to every practical aspect of human existence. So, and our studies sought to draw our attention to the fact that knowledge is equally inclusive among the things that we are supposed to account for. Are we together? So those scriptures that we studied last week, or we examined last week, as far as God is concerned, God was saying to us, man will give account to him on virtually everything. We are going to give account to God on virtually everything. Our life and our time, we'll give account to God. Our opportunities, we'll give account to God. Our material resources, we'll give account to God. Over our gifts and talents, we'll give account to God. Over our words, we'll give account to God. Over our children and other people under our leadership influence, we give account to God. Then the very focus of the study, the access we have to knowledge, we will give account to God over it. So today's study seek to further raise our consciousness to that fact that God will not be happy with us if we allow the things we are learning here to go into waste. God won't be happy with us. And of course, the same thing applies to the revelation we receive through our personal interaction with the scriptures as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So God will not be happy with us if we allow such revelations, such insight to go into waste and we don't profit by them spiritually and in other dimensions. So in that regard, today's study will seek relevance for the application of another crucial branch of the accounting called auditing in our study of knowledge economy. So what we are looking at today, therefore, is auditing knowledge procedure. So we want to examine the practice of knowledge auditing. The practice of knowledge auditing through asking relevant questions such as, do I know as I ought to know? Have I grown in knowledge to match my biological age? Have I grown enough in Christ? Okay? To match the years that I claim I have knew Christ. Am I growing sufficiently enough to match the labor of the Holy Spirit over my life? So we must do an audit of our life, a knowledge audit of our life. Are we not still babes when we are supposed to have become grown adults in the Lord? So, do I know as I ought to know? Another critical question that this teaching should help you to ask objectively: am I attaching the deserved importance to the opportunity I have to learn at the feet of Christ? This is another opportunity. Leaders' breakfast every Sunday. Bible study. Your own private Bible study if you do it. All these avenues of learning. What kind of importance
do I attach to them? Are they getting the deserved attention that I ought to give them? Then if at all I'm learning, how much value have I gained from much learning? You are listening to someone, you are attending Bible study, you are studying your Bible, and so on and so forth. How much value have you gained from your much learning? You attend conferences and seminars. How much value have you gained from much learning? So it takes knowledge auditing, applying the procedure of knowledge auditing to be able to objectively assess yourself and be able to know what next step to take. So I hereby come today to recommend to everyone who wish to derive maximum benefit from the insight and revelation available to them on a regular basis to embark on knowledge auditing procedure. So what do we mean by auditing? In the literary financial sense of the word, what do we mean by auditing? Let's move from the known to get to the application level that is yet to be known. What do we mean by auditing? In the literary financial sense of the word, auditing is defined as the verification of financial position as disclosed by the financial statements. It's an examination of accounts to ascertain whether the financial statement give a true and fair view of financial position and profit or loss of the business. So when you do all of that, you are auditing your business. So it's the verification of financial position as disclosed by the financial statement. It is also the examination of your account to ascertain whether that the financial statement gives us a true and fair view of financial position and of profit or loss of the business. So we can as well therefore query ourselves. Does our life reflect the quality of biblical teachings we have been receiving since we came to the knowledge of Christ? So the same way an auditor will come and look into the account books and raise questions and call for explanation, in the same way, if we are actually committed to spiritual growth, if we are actually committed to becoming like Christ, if we are actually committed to appearing before God on the last day, and we will receive pass mark, well done, welcome, good and faithful servant, then it behoves on us that we should query ourselves. We should question ourselves. Is my life reflecting the quality of biblical teaching I have been receiving since I came to the knowledge of Christ? So, the purpose of an audit is the expression of an opinion, sincere opinion, as to whether the financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with appropriate accounting principles. It's not just about I spent the money and you can see that I have spent the money. The auditor will also query in the categorization of the spending. Did you spend the money for the right item, or you have misappropriated the money? Are we together? So, in that same manner, knowledge auditing is essential to assess the conformity of our life with biblical standards. So, it's not just that I have attained success. It's not just that I have breakthrough in this, I have breakthrough in that. When you are doing true biblical knowledge auditing, you will also put your procedure. Hello? Yes? You have achieved success. You will also query the process. Is it by the right process or by the wrong process? So, knowledge auditing is essential to assess the conformity of our life standard with biblical standard. And that is why the presence of credible auditor is the reason managers of economic resources will avoid misappropriation and other financial malpractices. Because somebody put in charge of a particular budgetary spending, or a manager who oversees certain resources, okay, one of the key reasons, you'll be careful to make sure that he's not found wanting, is because he knows that at the end of doing the spending, somebody will come, maybe as an internal auditor, and of course as an external auditor, to check the account books. So the presence of credible auditors is the reason managers of economic resources will avoid misappropriation and other financial malpractices. So a similar procedure is recommended to be personally applied to knowledge management. And when you do that, you will derive maximum benefit from the knowledge that is available to you. So what are the benefits, the gains, if you apply knowledge auditing procedure to evaluating your spiritual growth? So knowledge auditing is essential to achieve the following. Number one, to update your knowledge for personal growth. It helps you to update your knowledge for personal growth. And of course, the reality of the 21st century is that changes are more rapid than in the past. Have you given attention to that? That in the 21st century, changes are more rapid than in the past. Changes no longer happen at a slow pace. I'll give you this example in the arena of technology. It took decades or even over a century to arrive at today's digital world. Before we arrive at today's digital world, everything analog. This one analog, that one analog. And for years, okay, we were using landline phone. Are we together? But if you look at the time we now have this cell phone and the number of changes that has taken place, there was this era when we used this Nokia Sagem Motorola. Okay, some of them have horns. If you have open and close, oh, you are a celebrity. Praise the name of the Lord. But suddenly, before we know what was happening, they came up with what they call, is it BBM or whatever? BlackBerry. BB. Okay. You'll be asking for your, is it ping number? PIN number and so on. And those were the big people. And suddenly, we came to Android. Okay? Then, after Android, you now talk about iPhone. iPhone this, iPhone that, and so on and so forth. And if you are following the trend, you will discover that very soon, iPhone itself, okay, is going into irrelevance. Very soon, what we are going to be carrying around, okay, will be as flexible as a sheet of paper. As full. Praise the name of the Lord. Why? Changes no longer happen at slow pace. what took decades or even century, okay, to attain in the past is now happening in a GV. So the rate at which knowledge is succeeding knowledge and invention is overtaking invention today is alarming. Are you with me? So if your faith itself will be relevant to your generation, then you must keep your ear very close to the Holy Spirit to know the mind of God over these new developments. Are we together? Otherwise, you will go into oblivion and irrelevance. Knowledge auditing procedure is also essential to achieve or to eliminate junk bites in order to sanitize our belief system. Today is the day of increase in knowledge, and people are throwing everything and anything at us as something useful. So you must develop yourself to have the capacity to eliminate junk bites in order for you to be able to sanitize your belief system. Otherwise, you will hold on to the wrong things that can even lead you to hellfire, and you think you are holding on to the path of righteousness. Am I talking to somebody? So it's essential that you embrace knowledge auditing procedure and do it regularly to examine yourself whether you are still in faith or you have gone to embrace something that has taken you out of faith. So it helps you to free your mind from prejudices, living by assumption. It also helps you to format your mind so that you can create room for fresh insight and to be able to accommodate new revelation. The undoing of the Pharisees in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ was the fact that they were not prepared to accommodate fresh insight. What they were supposed to throw away, okay, is what they were embracing as new wine. Are we together? So it takes a man who, through the Holy Spirit, submit himself to regular knowledge auditing procedure to be able to format his mind and create room for fresh insight and accommodate new revelation. Last week, I told you that one of the things you must do to achieve growth, either spiritually or otherwise, is for you to be willing to learn, to relearn, and to unlearn. So, and if you will unlearn, okay, you must do knowledge, you must go through knowledge auditing procedure before that can happen, by which you are able to format your mind and create room for fresh insight and be able to also accommodate new revelation. Another thing that it does is that it helps you to probe the past and interrogate novel ideas. It helps you to probe the past in order for you to be able to also interrogate novel ideas. So many things have been thrown to us today as novel ideas. Which actually are soul poison. So for you not to eat poison as spiritual diet, you must do regular knowledge auditing. Then it also helps you to take stock of gains or losses from applied knowledge. So by going through knowledge auditing procedure, the things you have learned and you have applied, you'll be able to ask yourself, what is the result I have gotten from it? Are we together? I have encountered people, even ministers, okay, that will hold on to their method and way of doing things. Okay? And you try to kind of get into their world, make them see the other side of issue, but they will not just open up. And then the question I ask myself is that, are they not asking themselves, this method they are holding to, what result has it given them? Are you with me? So, take stock of the gains. So, if the gains are good and godly, continue to use the insight. Continue to apply the principle. Are we together? But if it has been causing you setback, or it has hindered you from growth, it has hindered you from destiny fulfillment, why won't you put them aside and explore other available knowledge that are good and godly? So it helps you to take stocks of gains or losses from the knowledge you have applied in the past or you are applying in the present. And lastly, to evaluate sources of available knowledge to determine their relevance to your earthly and eternal future. So you will not just be listening to just anybody. You will become careful to choose those you listen to, including music. Hello? Do you know that music is not just a source of melody, it's also a source of knowledge? Whether you know it or not, either consciously or unconsciously, okay, some of the lifestyle you will pick on, some of the lifestyle you embrace can be traced to the kind of music you listen to. Am I talking to somebody? The philosophies by which you are living your life can be traced to the kind of music you are listening to. So you evaluate the source of the available knowledge that you so much love to relate with to determine its relevance to your earthly and eternal future. So much knowledge, or benefit rather, comes with knowledge auditing. So much benefit comes with them. So let me itemize a few of them and begin to see if we will be able to do more than that today or just draw the curtain on that. So, for financial audit, it reveals the financial health of an organization. You cannot say an organization is healthy or about to go into a bankruptcy until you do an audit of the account. Am I right? Church, are we together? So in the same way, knowledge audit will reveal your mental and consequently your spiritual health. Knowledge audit will reveal your mental and consequently your spiritual health. They are connected. Mental health and spiritual health are connected. Okay, what you believe is what you become. And the seat of your belief, okay, is your mind. Are you with me? And eventually your mind begins to dictate the direction your spiritual life will take. So, just as financial audit reveals the financial health of an organization, knowledge audit will also reveal your mental and consequently your spiritual health. Knowledge auditing will reveal whether you are gaining well-rounded knowledge or you are gaining one-sided knowledge. The problem of some people is not that they are not gaining knowledge, but they are gaining one-sided knowledge. The Bible refers to them as Ephraimic cake, overdone on one side, undone on the other side. Okay, you are frying cake, not in deep oil, light oil, and you just allow the cake to stay on one side, and the thing is getting burnt, but the other side is not cooked. That is the life of some believers. So it takes knowledge auditing to discover whether you are actually gaining well-rounded knowledge or you are a one-sided believer. I understand knowledge auditing as an antidote, cure, prevention to drifting into heresy. A number of people that have drifted into heresy, one major problem they have is that they don't commit themselves to going through knowledge auditing procedure. Knowledge auditing will also help to serve as preventive measure against falling into apostasy. People that you once know as vibrant believer, okay, but suddenly they are saying, this Christianity thing is a scam. Christianity is a white man religion. And yet he was the one that preached to you before you get converted. Now you are doing well in the Lord, but he has gone back from the Lord. One of the missing things in the life of such people is that along the line, they fail to stop, okay, and commit themselves to knowledge auditing procedure. And because they don't do that, they allow for demonic teachings and orientation to invade their mind and then overturn their spiritual life. Your spiritual life will not be overturned by the powers of darkness. Your spiritual life will not be overturned by doctrines of devils that are everywhere today in the name of Jesus. So, it's a preventive measure against falling into apostasy. Apostle Paul described it as giving heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. Hello? So what I'm teaching has a very solid biblical apostolic basis. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. So you are not permitted to have your doctrine. You are supposed to submit to the doctrine. Are we together? So take heed. Hope we have not dropped the doctrine to formulate your own doctrine, to invent your own doctrine. Hope we have not dropped the doctrine of Christ to embrace the doctrine of men that are manipulating people. Are you with me? So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In other words, submit your knowledge to spiritual auditing, practical auditing, to make sure that you are living in conformity with biblical standard. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So it's a procedure that is meant for all believers, more importantly, even those of us who preach, so that we save ourselves and we save those that are hearing us, because they take us as oracle. And if we embrace the wrong thing, we pass it to them and we kill them spiritually. Am I talking to somebody? There was this man called Apollos in the Bible. What helped him to stop being a one-sided believer and transform into a well-rounded believer was this procedure called knowledge auditing. Acts 18. From verse 24. I'll stop on verse 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. You can be mighty in the scripture without being deep in scriptures. So he was mighty in scripture, but he was not deep in it. He was mighty in scripture, but he was not fast in it. He was narrow. Hello? He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. One-sided. Praise the name of the Lord. He knew only the baptism of John. But, oh, he preached it with gravity. He was very versatile at it. He was very bold about it, very proud about it. Okay. When it's time to preach, people who knew more than him will even be intimidated by his zeal. Are we together? And we have many of them today on the social media. Many of them today on the internet, satellite television. Highly charismatic. But what are they teaching? Something that is correct but not complete. Hello? Something that is correct but not current. Or something that is current but not complete. Are we together? Oh, we clap them and we celebrate them. And they are feeding us on just one solo diet. And our growth is almost becoming a kind of growth that is making us making us to go up, but we are not going deep. We are growing tall, but we are not growing deep. What will happen to an edifice that is so tall but does not have depth? When the wind will come, what will happen to that edifice? It will collapse. So he was mighty in scripture. He was teaching with diligence the things of the Lord, but all he knew were the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. Thank God for his humility. And expanded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, some of the preachers, okay, that we find one thing or the other wrong with their preaching, all we need to do is to find a way of bringing them aside. If they will listen, if they will drop their ego and allow the way of the law to be expanded unto them more perfectly, then they will be broad-based. Are we together? So, this man, Apollos, it was knowledge auditing that revealed that he needed to upgrade in the knowledge of Christ. And he submitted to that and he upgraded. Same thing goes for certain believers in Ephesus who received Jesus but never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, I read the first 7 verses. Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, they were disciples, genuine disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That's why I said, bring yourself under knowledge auditing procedure and ask yourself, have I known as I ought to know? And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They upgrade in knowledge. They updated their knowledge to what is current, okay, correct, and complete. Tell somebody, update your knowledge to what is correct, current, and complete. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So, from this, it's important that the church, now I speak from my apostolic office, to understand that corporate knowledge auditing through apostolic peer review is urgently necessary to arrest a number of doctrinal imbalance that we now find in the body of Christ. Corporate knowledge auditing, whereby we are going to have a repeat of something similar to what we had in Acts of Apostles chapter 15. They heard that Peter was preaching this way. Paul was preaching the other way. And then the council came together. And then they find a common ground that is consistent and accurate with the divine agenda of God concerning the gospel. Are we together? But today, is there a common platform? We may have a common platform, okay, for the defense of the faith against external attack. But is there a common platform for the discussion of our doctrinal positions? Are we together? So that we can arrest this growing number of doctrinal imbalance that is in the body of Christ. So that somebody cannot just wake up and think he can gather the people and take them to the feed like ram and make them eat grass. Do you know it's that terrible today? Somebody will wake up in the name of ministry deliverance and bring out his manhood for women to suck, and you call that gospel, and we will not be able to come together and say, no, this one is not part of us. Am I talking to somebody? So, as this teaching is relevant to personal spiritual growth, so is this relevant to the corporate body of Christ, that we will be able to come together like the council in Jerusalem in Acts of Acts chapter 15 and do apostolic peer review to arrest this growing tendency into doctrinal errors of unimaginable magnitude. So, knowledge auditing, I call it a necessary procedure for all-round personal and corporate development of the church. And Apostle Paul did that. He set an example of that for us by exchanging notes with the senior colleagues he met in ministry. You know, Apostle Paul was a latecomer. Some juggernauts were already on the field, like Apostle Peter. And when he came, okay, he came not only with performance, he also came with deep teachings. To the degree that at a point, Apostle Peter said, that guy, Paul, some of the things he's teaching, we don't understand. But the Spirit of God in us give us a witness that he is correct. So the things that you are teaching, the things that I am teaching, who are the senior colleagues that are authenticating it by the Spirit of God? So Apostle Paul submitted his knowledge for auditing by exchanging notes with the senior colleagues he met in ministry. Galatians chapter 2. I read verse 1 and 2, then I will jump to verse 7 and stop on verse 10. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. So he knew those who were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So when he was saying, take heed to your life and to the doctrine, he was not just giving a theoretical formula. It was what he also applied. Part of taking heed to the doctrine was the fact that he went privately to them that were old enough in ministry to be regarded as his senior colleagues. Why? He said, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the oaths and commission was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentile. So we may not all be doing the same thing. We may be doing different things. In other words, treating different topics from the same syllabus. Are we together? He said, the gospel to the Gentile was committed to me. But the early apostles were yet to perfectly understood that. But by the time they came together for a corporate auditing procedure, they realized that just the way God has sent Peter to the Jews, in the same way God has sent Paul to the Gentiles. But who instigated that move? It was Paul, who went and submit his teachings to his senior colleagues. And when James, these are the big brothers that he met in the race. And when James, now if you read this book of James, you will think James was taking a position and Paul was taking another parallel position. James was emphasizing faith. Paul was emphasizing faith. If you read the books of Paul, James was emphasizing works. Paul will say, the just shall live by their faith. James will say, show me your faith without your work, and I will show you my... Help me out, church. I will show you my faith by my works. Are we together? And it looks like as if these people are two parallel lines that never met. From here, we discover that they met. Okay? They were using the same syllabus, but handling different topics. Is somebody learning something this morning? And when James, Cephas, that is Peter, who was preaching to the Jews, now having a platform of meeting together with Paul, who was preaching to the Gentiles, and John, who seemed to be pillars, he recognized that these are pillars, are fathers of faith. Hello? These are men that are more grounded. These are men that I must not just say, I have the Holy Spirit. I must check with them whether I'm correct or not correct. You get some people come up and say, Don't treat anybody. Don't recognize anybody as your fathers. Or as your father, rather. Let's be very careful. Let's be what? Very careful. Let's stop being superficial. Let's stop being what? Superficial. Who seemed to be pillar, perceived the grace that was given unto me. And so, fathers too must have a large heart to reciprocate. Okay? Not to compete, but to compliment and encourage those who are coming with a current dimension that is relevant to their generation. Are you with me? Like I told you earlier, that when you look at the pace of change today, it's more rapid than it was in the olden days. They gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Every man facing his calling. Every man facing what? His calling. Only the will that we should remember the poor. Hello? Now, as they were auditing what Paul was doing, okay, they discovered that there is still a dimension that he needed to add. Young man, add this one to it, and you'll become more effective. Are you with me? We're going to the second service, and in the second service, you are going to hear something similar to this. Hello? That you have your one life to live, okay, but your soul knowledge is too small to manage that one life that belongs to you. Other people's knowledge, wisdom, and counsel must come in. So, as great as Paul was, after 14 years in the Lord, serving the Lord with evidence of God's mighty move in his work and ministry, something very little but very important, okay, the elders had to draw his attention to it. Only the wood that we should remember the poor. You know, he was emphasizing faith. So there is that tendency for him to say charity does not matter, this one does not matter, and so on and so forth. But they said, no, this one too is a component. Add it to what you are doing. So every time you come, are you coming with a mind to receive something that you can add to what you are doing that will make you better than whom you are? The same which also was forward to do. That, in other words, the moment they drew my attention to it, I quickly embrace it. The problem with some of you is that you are too difficult to advise. The unfortunate thing is that this is our landing point today on corporate knowledge auditing procedure for the church. As we found in the ministry of Apostle Paul and the senior colleagues, is obviously missing today. We don't listen to each other until there's something to criticize. God, have mercy on us. In Jesus' name. Glory to God.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number, 080-35-685882, or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.